Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. An earful of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God!
Listen to Kit Lang on the Patrick Henry Society every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
I know not what cost others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Never sounded so good.
Back up on an old dirt road, next to a swamp full of toads, was a slanted wood shack with three little kids and a mama.
All right, gather around, drag up a stool. It's time for Liberty Lounge. 2 full hours of classic country music with a splash of news thrown in for good measure. Let's take a break from the current trials and tribulations and try to start our weekend out on a lighter note. Liberty Lounge starts right now.
Well, now, since it's Friday, and just to show my appreciation, we'll knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?
Do that again. You are so stupid.
That's right.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
That's right.
There is nothing wrong with your radio.
That's right.
This is crazy. What's going on here?
I don't know. I love it.
I got $100 smoking in my billfold.
Quack, quack.
I know I ought to save it, but it's burning.
All we want
inches.
It's huge!
Holy Boothy Fittipelli.
Yay!
Here we are. Welcome to Liberty Lounge on the shooting bench tonight on Friday, the 17th of July. And I hope you guys had a great weekend. I had an interesting weekend. I don't know that it was great. I spent it away from my lover, so that didn't excite me too much. But it was an interesting weekend. There was a meeting that I went to, and it was a... can't tell you everything that it was about, but some of this stuff is pretty common knowledge, and you can actually look it up. There's a website and a Facebook page for the Coalition of Western States. The Coalition of Western States is an interesting concept. It's not the first time that it's been tried by any means, but this one has some very, very sincere, very dedicated, very patriotic people that are involved here. And, you know, I'm hoping that we'll see a different outcome from this one than in the past. There's been a lot of stuff tried, a lot of things over the years. Different patriot groups have tried different things, and some ended in catastrophes, and some just a dismal failure. Some were moderately successful for a little while. And, you know, we keep trying. I don't ever want to give up hope. I'll support this one. I'll support the next one if another one comes along. Providing that everything is, you know, on the up and up, and certainly with the Coalition of Western States, it is on the up and up, I believe. But be that as it may, we'll keep you informed as things go on. You can check the... I don't know what the website is right off the top of my head. It's easy enough to do a search. Coalition of Western States, COWS, as they call it, and one or the other of those will bring you to it. And also a Facebook page by the same name. So it was a very, very interesting weekend, interesting concept that they have on there, that we have, I guess I should say. And there's still some bugs to be worked out and stuff, but the right people are getting involved, and the right attitudes are, for the most part, the right attitudes are in there. So We'll keep you up to date on this as it progresses. Now, before we get into, you know, usually Liberty Lounge is all about music, all about winding down for the weekend, all about classic country most usually, and we don't get into too many of the worries and terrible things that's going on in the world, but we're going to make an exception tonight. We're going to make an exception because we just had, what was it, it was the day before yesterday, I believe, wasn't it? A shooting in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And this, There was 4 Marines killed in, I believe, 2 different locations. 1 guy did it. This guy, this Muslim, evidently had ISIS ties along down the line. He came from a mosque in Phoenix. And from what I hear, it was the same mosque that the last 2 came from in Phoenix that got killed over in Dallas or Fort Worth or wherever it was where the art thing was going on, the Draw Muhammad contest. So I've got a lot of problems with this, not the least of which is we've lost 4 Marines. That pisses me off enough all by itself. Families are broken up. We've lost some of the finest service members that there are out there. But what ticks me off, where do I start? So many things. For one thing, we had a white guy walk into a church, into a black church, and killed, 9 blacks. And all of a sudden, the entire southern United States is at fault. They're all racist. The battle flag is to blame. We're digging up generals, they're digging up Confederate generals and moving them. And we're taking Confederate memorabilia out of pawn shops and secondhand stores and gift shops and all this stuff. I mean, there's just no end to it. All because one angry young man walked into a church and killed some folks. Now, as we said on here before, he wasn't just angry, and he wasn't just, he burned, we got pictures of him burning a United States flag, an American flag. He hated everybody. And I think, now he may have been, there may have been more to the story, we'll never know. I think he just happened to choose the church down there. When you get down that part of the country, about every other building you go by down there is a black church, and usually a Baptist church or something. And not that it, I don't care whether it's Baptist, Church of Christ, whatever it is. I don't know what they all are. But I know there's a lot of them. And I think he just walked in one and did his thing. So whether or not he chose the church because it was black makes no difference. I don't care about that. What matters is that we have now a person who is not white walk into and specifically target military installations, recruiting centers, and killed 4 of our service members, 4 Marines. And they say again that this is an isolated event, that this one guy acted alone. He come from a mosque where there is, a matter of fact, I think that it was the same mosque where some of my associates went to and participated in a protest here, a month ago. And but nothing has been said other than, well, it was an isolated incident, and this guy acted alone. He was a lone wolf guy, whatever. They don't just call it what it is. I don't see any outrage. I don't see Jesse Jackson. I don't see Al Sharpton. I don't see anybody. I don't see our sorry sack of poop president saying anything about it other than trying to minimize what has happened and minimize the actual cause of all of this. So several questions have come up here. One, why are our service members disarmed. It's okay that they go and kill people and break things all over the world when we tell them to, but they come here and they can't even protect themselves. Well, a lot of people want to blame that on Clinton. That had nothing to do with Clinton. The slightly more knowledgeable want to blame it on Bush. It was not Bush's fault either. The very knowledgeable people will see that that goes back to somewhere at or prior to 1969. And there was a directive, a DOD directive, brought out some time ago. I joined in 82, and it was that way then. So, you know, that wasn't... It was prior to people like to say 92 is when it happened. It was not 92. It was way back before that. So that's not Clinton's fault. It's not Bush's fault. It goes way back. So at this point, just like civilians, at this point there would need to be probably some pretty good training, because these Marines, how they're trained for field combat and whatnot, and there's a little difference in how you conduct yourself and how you address these, you know, your rules of engagement and stuff are going to be have to be modified a little bit. And certainly there needs to be some training for shooting in crowded areas, but that doesn't address the problem with the not being able to have any ammo. Well, there is a federal law that keeps them from being able to carry in federal buildings. Okay, so if it's on a military installation, it's a federally owned operated building, so they can't do that. By the way, did you all hear the last or read the last text of one of the Marines in Chattanooga? Some of you may not have seen this. There's a screenshot here of the text, and it says the first one. Now, I don't know what went on prior to this, what they were talking about. I can only guess. But his first text on here said, "Can't wait anymore." And she said, "Yes, you can, honey." And then all in capital letters, he said, "Active shooter." She says, "You're so weird." And then 4 hours later, or no, let's see. No, she said, "You're so weird." And then a few minutes later, she said, "I love you." And then 4 hours later, she said, "Honey, I need you to answer me, please." But by that time, he was already dead. Thank you. Hey, we're going to have a music break here in a little bit, because I just got some absolutely delicious-looking strawberry cake of some kind and a glass of milk. So I will be indisposed. Thank you, lover. That was very nice. So here in a few minutes, I'm going to have to be taking a break. Thank you. Now, there's more problems than this. And I saw B2 Basic get in here. Welcome. You guys, some of you swinging in here a little late. Which is okay. That happens. We are even late coming in with the show occasionally. So we haven't got much room to gripe here, especially since we've missed the last couple of days. That's really bad. Let me check the chat room here and see what's going on real quick before we carry on here. Peanut Rider, I think that has been rectified. And also there's been military bases have been gun-free zones for 30 years or whatever it is. And almost 40 years, I guess. So, now the other problem here The other problem is something we've seen numerous times, and it really, really bothers me. And that is, we saw it with Gabby Giffords here in Tucson. We saw it at, so many places. Why, where's all these, here in Arizona especially, where are all these concealed carry holders? Where are all these constitutional carry folks that everybody's so damn proud of? Where's all these open carry? These guys go out and risk getting thrown in jail, and they make fools out of themselves for open carry, carrying rifles around in Starbucks and whatnot. Where are they at when something like this happens? Where of all the vast crowd of people, we've talked about this before, but I'm going to bring it up again, of all the crowd of people that was out there applauding Gabby Giffords when she was doing her thing in Tucson, seriously, there was no one carrying a gun in there out of 200 or 300 or 400 people or whatever there was in the theater in Colorado, in Aurora, Colorado? There was no one in there carrying a gun. I know it was a gun-free zone. I understand that, and that's a problem. Okay, it's a big problem. But there has to be, I guess obviously they don't have to be, but I would think that there would be a few people like me, like Anthony Bosworth, like so many other patriots out there that say, you know what, I'm going to wear a gun whether it's legal or not because I'm not going to have my family unprotected. Now, the difference is I wouldn't go to a theater that had a sign up, so I wouldn't have been there. But, you know, if I do have to go somewhere, barring a federal felony, I am not, I carry my gun, or I don't go. But people out there on the street should be able to carry a gun. I mean, they should be trying to get so flustered here. There should be somebody there to address these problems. And yeah, I think I think he may have at least in one of the places, he may have fired from a vehicle. But nevertheless, if he's shooting from a vehicle, was there not anybody out there on the street? Oh, we're such a great pro-gun state. You know, every state that has any kind of carry law says that. And we have all these great things, and we can carry guns everywhere and all that. But then when something like this happens, when there's a shooter happens into what was that little school up there with the Amish school where they killed all those kids? I mean, there's just so many of these things go on over and over and over. Over and over. Over and over and over and over. And almost never, there's been two or three exceptions out of how many active shooter situations? 50? 100? In the last few years? Where are the sheepdogs? Where are these people that carry to complain? Damn it. Where are these people that claim to carry guns all the time? Where are all these concealed carry holders and all these open carriers and all these people that are all excited and hot to trot about getting legislation passed, but it just so happens that there's never one around? Well, we know that that's not entirely the case, as was the case in Gabby Giffords' deal. There was at least one guy there that we know of that admitted later that he was afraid to shoot, afraid he would be identified as the shooter. So he didn't shoot, didn't try, didn't help. Because he was worried about himself more than anything else. About the possibility that he might have been identified as the shooter. How many others do you think might have been there that froze up, didn't want to get involved? They carry the gun because they want to look tough and cool to their friends, and they want to be able to whoop that concealed carry license out when they get stopped. Yeah, officer, I got a concealed weapon. Here's my permit. Shut up. Just sign right here, would you? But where are they when this happens? There is no way, no way, that you'll convince me that there's not, in at least some of these instances, that there's not somebody there besides an off-duty cop. Now, we had the deal up in I believe it was Utah, where the officer, no, it wasn't either. I think it was Portland or somewhere up in there. Anyway, there was an off-duty cop that stopped it. That's happened a couple of times. But where civilians have stopped it, maybe a couple out of, I don't know how many active shooter events. So you can't, no way can you convince me that there wasn't somebody there with a gun of some kind in at least some of these cases. You just can't convince me of that. You've never convinced me of that. It's just impossible. There's just no way that you have that many people and that many freaking incidents all over the country and more concealed carry holders or more open carriers or more people that are carrying illegally. Okay, here we go. Answer me this. I'm going to carry my gun. You know, Second Amendment is my CCW, blah, 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 rah, rah, rah. Beat your chest, insert your favorite Greek phrase here. And where are they when people are dying? You know what they're going to say? Well, I saved that. I didn't do it because it's not my family, it's not me, and I'm not willing to risk that. No, you're a sissy is what it is. You shouldn't be carrying a gun at all. You're not going to use it when it comes time to protect your family because you're a wuss. Because you have no huevos. Your package is diminutive. That's the problem. And, you know, partisan guerrilla, you know, that's a possibility. No, nobody's seen the death certificates yet. Is it another hoax? I doubt it. Now, I'm not to say that it might not have been orchestrated. I'm not going to say it wasn't, but is it a hoax and the people didn't die? No, I don't think so. But nevertheless, whatever it was, which here you go, Goatmog has got us a little narrative up here. According to mainstream media, he shot from the car at the first one, which he killed nobody, while talking on his cell phone and reloading several times, and then he drove 9 miles in a couple of minutes. Well, no, actually, he drove 9 miles probably in about 9 minutes at the least, meaning he had to be going over 120 miles an hour and crashed a gate with no damage to the front of the car but extensive damage to the back, and then shot 4 Marines, though so far there's no photographic evidence of that. Okay, well, there always could be another deal going on here. You never know. But maybe not. I don't know. But there are several of them out there that we know or not. Many of them where we absolutely, beyond a doubt, there's been people killed where there were multiple civilian bystanders, sometimes in the numbering in the dozens, maybe even hundreds, and nobody's got a gun. People seem to be they're afraid of this, and to tell you something else they're afraid of, and we learned that over the weekend too, is there are still way to and this all kind of comes together. It means the kind of the same thing. There's still people out there, a great many of them, that are afraid of that word militia. You know, kind of deep down inside themselves, they kind of feel like they support it and it's a good thing, but they're still not willing to say it because of somebody might hear them say it. They carry that gun, But they don't use it because somebody might see it. Somebody might catch them. They might get in trouble. They may have to answer some questions. They might spend a night in jail. So why don't you just leave it home? Oh, dear me.
I've been looking at people and how they change with the times. And lately all I've been seeing are people throwing love away and losing their minds. Maybe it's me who's gone crazy, but I can't understand why all these lovers keep hurting each other when good love is so hard to come by. So what's the glory in living? Doesn't anybody ever stay together anymore?
Okay, that's the extent of our break for right now. Hey, Prairie Ghost, by golly, I don't know if I've ever seen you in here or not before. If it has, it's been a long time. Welcome. Glad you could make it in for a little while. We've just been talking about the Marines that got killed in Chattanooga. And there are so many. Now, there's another issue with this. One more. We talked about civilians carrying a gun, service members carrying guns, the legislation that prevents it, and all of that. But there we have one more problem. And that's the Muslims that are doing it. It's easy, real easy, to hate all of them. And most of us do. Some people say, well, they're not all bad. Well, they may not be, but it's sure hard to sort them out at this point. The one that did this had some ties with ISIS, but he was not ISIS. He had talked to him, evidently. There's going to be more stuff come out. How much of it we can believe, I don't have any idea. I'll tell you, a cold glass of milk with that strawberry cake's mighty fine. But, hey, Tampico Scout's in there. Welcome, brother. Glad you made it. Tampico Scout, I wish when you come down here, one of my biggest priorities is for you to meet Prairie Ghost. Yeah. You guys will hit it off like peanut butter and jelly, I'm here to tell you. So on the one hand, you want to say, well, you know, this is how the problem is solved. You just kill them all and dump them all in the ocean. That probably wouldn't go over too well with a lot of them. You can deport them all, even though they're looking at, with these new open border laws here, they're looking at a population of 6.2 million here in the immediate future. They've already pretty much taken over some states, some areas back on the East Coast, and they're, and you know, I really struggle with this because if there's been anybody ever that has tried to put a little bit of temperance in some of the decisions that we make and the things that we do and say, it's been me. I've always said that they're just not possibly every single person in any group that's bad. And I believe that about Muslims also. But on the other hand, how do you determine when you have some? There are a few that, as a matter of fact, I listened to one speak this weekend. He was a former Muslim that converted to Christianity 16 years ago. And he was extremely knowledgeable about the Bible and all the scriptures. He was he had literally no accent. He was from Iran, had no accent, and he was a really, really pleasant guy to meet. And I don't mean to lump him into that deal about Muslim. He was not a Muslim. He was raised a Muslim. My point was, I guess, is that some of them do convert. Some of them do realize how evil and how bad and how dangerous and how absolutely deplorable some of the things are that most of them do. So I actually got an online copy of the Quran here a week or two ago, and I'm gonna try to sit down and read it and see what all it says in there. Now, you get different opinions from all kinds of different people. They say, well, they've read this and that and there, and this is what they have to do and stuff. And, you know, to be fair, how many places in the Bible does it say that somebody is supposed to be put to death for the things that they do? You know, adultery is frowned on pretty hard. Being a rump ranger is... going by Bible standards, that is not a good occupation there. People are, and so not comparing the two by any remote stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying, are some of these things that we see in there, where it says that the infidels are to be killed, is there some of the things that we see like what's in the Old Testament? And don't misunderstand me. I'm not comparing them. Okay, I'm not at all. I'm just trying to sort out: is there any way to determine? Is it possible that there are good ones amongst them, and how do you sort them out? And of course, the first answer that comes to mind: kill them all and let God sort them out. But I don't know that that's the right answer, and I don't know if that's the answer that God wants us to use there. I'm not going to let my cold milk get warm, so sorry about the dead air there for a minute. Despite of what Amy said about the mucus causing whatever, I don't care. I love cold milk, especially with strawberry cake. So, anyway, the Bright Angel, which terminology? What are you talking about? Comparing the two, is that what you mean? Comparing the two books? Hotshot, I'm glad you dropped in for a little while, and I know it gets late for you. Yeah, Prairie Ghost, whole milk, yeah, that's where it's at, absolutely. I tell you what I like better than anything. Somebody in the chat room up there earlier said something about a goat milk being a little bit sourish. If goat milk is sourish to you, sourish, is that even a word? It was a word that they used, but if goat milk is sourish to you, you're not feeding them right, because I'm going to promise you one thing. If you feed those goats, or if they're allowed to eat good grass, and or you feed them grain and hay and stuff, you won't be able to tell that goat milk from good. It's awesome. It's wonderful. There's no sourness to it. It's not a taste that you have to acquire. If somebody brought it to you, the only thing you would say and didn't tell you, the only thing you'd say is, "Man, that's a good glass of milk." Not having any idea where it would have come from. I love goat milk. Anyway, back to the situation at hand. This is a problem of monumental proportions here. And one of the things that we have to be careful of, and I have said this many times, I'll say it many more times, because I believe it so deep in my heart, you wouldn't believe it. We must be right with God when we get into these fights. It's one thing to catch somebody in the act of shooting and smoking them, and I have no problem with that. It's another thing to assume and not be right. I'm going to tell you, I would rather die than be wrong. If I'm accidentally wrong and thought I was right, that's a whole different story. But if I just take up the sword and say, okay, well, they're all bad, we got to kill them all, and we'll let God worry about it, that is not our job. And therein lies a huge problem. For those of you that profess to be Christians and think you want to do Christian things and do the things that God wants us to do, you need to ponder on those choices, those options real hard. There are a number of patriots out there that have pushed that aside and say, well, you know, they're so excited, and I don't even know if excited is the right word. They're so fervent in their, we're all frustrated, we're angry, we're pissed, we're sad, we're everything that somebody can be when you've had so many problems. And so, you know, and our president gets up there and wishes everybody a happy Ramadan or whatever it was that he did, and didn't mention a whole lot about the Marines. Now let me tell you, you folks in Washington, I'm gonna tell you what, folks. You need to get rid of your governor, and I mean ASAP. Your governor sucks. There is no nice way to put it. You know what your freaking low-life piece of garbage, whale, scum-sucking, bottom-feeding piece of crap governor said up there? Jay Inslee, be sure and get that name right. He said, as the holy month of Ramadan ends, Trudy and I want to extend our warmest wishes to Muslims across Washington. During this important time of prayer and fasting, our Muslim neighbors throughout the state remind us of the importance of charity and compassion. this coming, that's a pretty damn bold statement right there. When we just had four Marines killed by a Muslim in Chattanooga. Radical Muslim? Was he a radical Muslim? Are there lukewarm Muslims, like there are lukewarm Christians that are not as dangerous as some of the rest? I don't know. But I think that he picked a bad time to appease. I think he's fearful of losing his head, is what I think. Instead, he's lost his frickin' mind. That was a very, very poor timing coming a day after we have four service members killed by a raghead. Very poor timing. I think it would have been better, even if he believed in his heart that he needed to say something out there, I think it would have been better to ignore that and not said anything. Because I'll tell you, his Facebook page blew up, and I started it. Actually, there was a couple of comments before mine, a sentence or two, but I unloaded on him. And his Facebook page, I wouldn't be surprised what it's shut down right now. I haven't gone and looked at it for a while, but anyway, this whole thing is getting frustrating as hell. BB Burner's fervent, having or displaying a passionate intensity. Yeah, I think that's well defined right there. Will do. Having or displaying a passionate intensity. Yeah, that's a fervor here. C7, you are late. Don't be asking any questions. You should have got here on time. No, I'm kidding. You know that. I saw where Michael Savage said that he said veterans need to form a militia. I can't stand Michael Savage, to tell you the truth. He's said too many things that have pissed me off, and that's one of them. What is it so special about veterans that they need to form a militia? Why can't just citizens form a militia? You got something against the average civilian here that is not a veteran that they can't be in a militia? Now, after Michael Savage said that time about the assault rifles, he lost me. That was the end of that. I've never listened to him since. Prairie Ghost here. That's what I'm talking about. Cool heads. And cool heads are tough to find right now. And it's getting tougher, and I think that's by design. I think that is intentional, that the cool heads are a little tough to find out there right now. But cool heads are going to need to prevail. I'm going to tell you, it becomes more and more difficult as these times go on. Cool heads have got to prevail. Just as our forefathers experienced, it had to be times of sheer madness. And, you know, that's a good point, Prairie Ghost. We have to come together and not be divided by the elected. And the elected is trying desperately to divide us right now. And I tell you, I'm going to be quite honest, it's working. It's working pretty well right now. And speaking of the Founding Fathers, I've been really poring over some of the things going on out there, what the Founding Fathers, you know, the Founding Fathers had a Muslim problem back then too. We look at the Treaty of Tripoli and read some of that stuff in there. And in the Treaty of Tripoli, it actually said, I think I talked about this the other night. In the Treaty of Tripoli, it was, I believe it was Thomas Paine, I think, that said that the. I wish I still had that up here so I could quote it, but said something to the effect that that America was not founded on Christian principles. Now, I realize that there are other founding fathers that disagreed with him. I'm just saying that all of them, and you know, all of them were not Christians. As much as people want to believe that, all of them were not Christians. Several of them, and Thomas Paine was one of them, and Ethan Allen was another one, were not Christians. They were deists, which is very similar to, if not the same as, agnostic. They knew there was something out there, and sometimes they would call it God, but they didn't know it was the God, just a God. So what I've found so far, and I haven't gotten very deep into it, but I've looked at several different references here, and no, they were not 100% Christian. But anyway, that's probably a story for another time. Well, now that I've got everybody as pissed off as they can get and ruined your evening, I guess we probably better get into the music here and relax a little bit. I just had to throw in my 2 cents worth there, and I kind of pulled all that from memory there because I hadn't really planned to do that, but. After what the governor of Washington said and some of these other things popped up here, I just lost it. I didn't care. I just wanted to get some of those things off my chest there. I hope that... No, but by the way, there's... let me go find something here. There's another story. Let me go find a deal real quick before we go to the music here. The governor of Oklahoma. Governor of Oklahoma has authorized Oklahoma's adjutant general to arm full-time personnel at military facilities across the state. This obviously comes after the four Marines were killed. And there's also, well, it said four unarmed Marines were killed in what appears to be a domestic terror attack. This is what the governor said. It says, painful enough when we lose members of our armed forces when they are sent in harm's way, but it's unfathomable that they should be vulnerable for attack in our own communities. For that reason, I want to make sure that our National Guardsmen are authorized to arm themselves at our military facilities. God bless you, Governor Fallon. So much of a contrast from that punk in Washington. Governor Fallon issued the executive order citing sections 2 and 6 of Article 6 of the Oklahoma Constitution, which allows Major General Robbie Asher to arm certain full-time personnel at Oklahoma military installations with weaponry as he deems necessary. The order also allows for military recruiting offices to be armed. Outstanding. Let's all give a big hand for the governor of Oklahoma. And there's also the governor also issued an executive order to fly all flags on state property at half staff through 8 a.m. July 20th in honor of the Marines killed in Tennessee. Now, there's damn sure a woman governor I can stand behind right there. Absolutely. Proud of her. So let's let me cruise up here a little bit. Let me check and see what's going on in the chat room. All right. Another thing that's going on are there's people out there that are standing guard at or calling for them to stand guard, and it's actually happened in a couple of places, standing guard at the recruiting offices, armed guards, civilians standing out there with their weapons and saying, come on, bring it, Haji. Come on over here. Remove that doubt for me. Take that doubt away so that I know, so that my path is clear, my mind is clear. Bring it on. Give me a reason. Give me a clear-cut reason why I shouldn't smoke your ass and send you to wherever the hell it is that you go to see your 72 Virginians. Or whatever. Okay. All right. I quit. I give up. That's enough.
that wind and wander over mountains and valleys and deserts and plains. I guess I've drove about all of them. 'Cause for the past 25 years now, the cab of a truck has been my home. And it'd be kind of hard for me to settle down and not be on the go. Well, I remember the first truck I drove. I was so proud I could hardly wait to get home to show my wife and little boy. And my little boy was so excited like when he saw his first snow. He wasn't old enough to say too many words. He just kept a hollering, "Giddy up, go, Daddy, giddy up, go." So that's what I named the old truck, Giddy Up, Go. Oh, things wasn't too bad. Of course, I was gone an awful lot. And then after about 6 years of being in and out, I got home one day and found my wife and little boy gone. And I couldn't find out what happened. Nobody seemed to know. So from that day on, it's just been me and old Giddy Up Go. Oh, I've made a lot of friends at all the truck stops. And some of them would kid me about my little sign. Of course, they knew where I'd got the name. Of course, I told them about that little boy of mine. And how his first word about the truck was, Giddy Up Go. Well, today I was barreling down old 66 when up beside me pulled a brand new diesel rig, both stacks blowing black coal. And as he pulled around and back in front of me, a big lump came in my throat, and my eyes watered like I had a bad old cold. A little sign on the back of the truck that read, Giddy Up, Go. Well, I pushed old Giddy Up and stayed right on him till the next truck stop where he'd pulled up. And I waited till he went in and I offered to buy him a cup. Well, we got to talking shop and I said, how'd you come by the name on your truck, Giddy Up, Go? Well, he said, I got it from my pop. Dad used to drive a truck. That's what Mom talked about a lot. You see, I lost Mom when I was just past 16. And I lost all track of Pop. Mom said he got the name from me. Well, I shook his hand and told him I had something I wanted him to see. And I took him out to the old truck and brushed off some of the dirt so the name would show. And his eyes got big and bright as he read, Giddy Up, Go. Oh, we had a lot of things to talk about, and buddy, I felt like a king. And now we've just pulled back on old 66, and he handled that rig better than any gear jammer that I'd ever seen. Well, now the lines on the highway have got a much brighter glow as we go roaring down the road, and me staring at little sign that reads, Giddy Up, Go.
Saw your picture on a poster in a cafe out in Phoenix. Guess you're still the sweetheart of the rodeo. As for me and little Casey, we still make the circuit in a one-horse trailer and a mobile home. And she still asks about you all the time. And I guess we never even cross your mind. But oh, sometimes I think about you and the way you used to ride out in your riding stones and your sequins with the sunlight on your hair.
getting older, and last Saturday he stumbled. But you know I just can't bear to let him go. Little Casey, she's still growing, and she started asking questions, and there's certain things a man just doesn't know. Her birthday came and you never even called. I guess we never crossed your mind. I think about you and the way you used to ride out in your riding stones and your sequins with the sunlight on your hair. And oh, the crowd will always love you, but as for me, I've come to know everything that glitters is not. Everybody said you'd make it big someday, and I guess that we were only in your way. But someday I'm sure you're gonna know the cost. 'Cause for everything you win, there's some. But oh, sometimes I think about you and the way you used to ride out in your rhinestones and your sequins with the sunlight on your hair. And oh, the crowd will always love you. As for me, I've come. Everything that glitters is not gold.
Hey, when we sit around the filling station, we like to kick tires and tell stories. And here's the most bodacious storyteller of them all, C.W. McCall.
One day, about 4 or 5 years ago, we were sitting at the Conoco station, kicking tires and swatting flies and discussing the State of the Union. When right out in front of the Baptist church come a big old purple school bus. Had astrological signs upon it and 35 hippies and dogs inside. About half of them went for the courthouse lawn and them dogs commenced on the fire plug. The rest of them sat there staring at us and I says, Roy, go get your flip gun. He says, which is the hippies and which is the dogs? I says, beats the heck out of me, Roy. What it was a bunch of them crispy critters and the leader was a space cadet. And he says,
Sagittarius, we have to ride. Prepare to disembark, man. Get the incense going in the sitar. We going to camp in the city park, man.
I says, boys, let me explain the situation to you. A, you're getting me down. And B, we got us a leash law here. And C, you in the wrong town. You drop one string of beads in that there park, and you're going to see a whole lot of stars. You got 15 seconds to get out of town, boys, or we going to blow you to Mars. Well, they all got back in the purple bus and proceeded to the city limits. Then the telephone rang. It was a swimming pool. It says a mess of wild critters was in it. So we all got to Marshall's Plymouth, which is always at the Conoco station. Went flashing on down to the swimming pool to give them critters a citation. By the time we arrived, it was just too late. Them critters had all had their pants down. Them dogs was tearing the bathhouse apart, and they's after the fish in the fish pond. I says, Roy, you get the one to sell for T-shirt, and I'll get the rest with a net. We're going to have a jail full of naked crispy critters and a drip-dried space cadet. Set up camp, and they lived in that purple school bus. 6 weeks later, there was nothing in town but 84 dogs in the head shop, selling dried up weeds and sunflower seeds and astrological postcards. The critters took over the city council, and the dogs all barked their brains out. And the entire town was crispy critters, and the mayor was a space cadet.
C.W. McCall had some great songs and stories and stuff out there. I like a lot of his stuff. There's check the chat room here and see. Pumpkin Cat, you never heard that before? You probably did and don't remember it. I've played it once or twice on the show. You might have been gone that night, though. But I do slip in some pretty much every week that some of you have never heard before. I pride myself in my old country music encyclopedia mind here. But let me mention something here real quick. And I don't see one of the listeners in here in the chat room that this probably needs to go to. But just so everybody knows, there are things that go on in this chat room late at night, early in the morning, that people think no one sees. We do see it fairly regularly. Whether there's a live host on at the time or not doesn't matter. When you start using the language that we have told you not to use in here, it's going to be, you know, the ban hammers coming out, and you'll be removed from the roles of our chatters. So use good judgment when you're having your chats late at night. If you've had a few beers and you think that your language is not up to my standards, then you better stay off of my chat room. Because if I find another one like that, there's going to be no warning. You'll just be gone. Now, it's not to say that we might not let you back in someday, but I don't put up with that for a minute. So think long and hard before you get in here in the middle of the night and start using that kind of language again. I wrote up a deal on Facebook today for someone that talking about using that kind of language on their page, and I unleashed on somebody. So, all right. Well, be that as it may, I didn't come here to talk on Friday nights. I come here to sing. Now I'm going to sing this one. You may not remember this one.
I'm meeting my buddies out on the lake. We're headed out to a special place we love. Just a few folks know. There's no signing up, no monthly dues. Take your Johnson, your Mercury, or your Evinrude and fire it up. Meet us out at Party Cove. Come on in, the water's fine. Just idle on over and toss us a line. Fast trackers, bail liners, and a party barge. Strung together. In the boat that's us, the Redneck Yacht Club. Bermuda flip-flops and a tank top 10. He popped his first top at 10 a.m. That's Bob.
he's our president. We're checking out the girls on the upper deck, rubbing in the 15 SPF. It's hot. Everybody's jumping in. Later on when the sun goes down, we'll pull out the jar and that old guitar and pass them around. Making waves in an O-Wing zone. Fast trackers, bail liners, and a party barge strung together like a floating trailer park. Anchored out and getting loud all summer long. Side by side, there's five houseboat front porches, astroturf lawn chairs and tiki torches. Regular Joes rocking the boat, that's us. Redneck Yacht Club. Redneck Yacht
Club. I remembered to ask Marcel, Uncle Versus' oldest boy, did he have any repercussions from the problem he had had?
Well, we had a little problem there, doggone it. Let's try it.
You know, money was real short when me and Marcel Ledbetter was growing up, and we was wanting to get us enough.
Well, looks like some of these Jerry Clower videos have said there's a licensing problem here. That's unusual. We never had that before. Let's try one more here and see what happens. Doggone it.
Well, I done met more folks out there in Hollywood. I was out there the other day and...
Yep. Well, how about them apples? Let's see here. Wonder if we can sneak up on this from another side here. Let's try this one. See, try it again.
First of all, I want you to know that I come from
full of options.
Liberty, Mississippi. Now that's
nope. Looks like I'm full of something, but it ain't options. Okay, well. Then let's move on to bigger and better things. I guess we won't be doing that tonight. We'll do this instead.
Campfire, coffee from a tin cup.
I want this song played at my funeral.
It sure warms the fingers when it's cold. And playing an old guitar, a friend I understand, it sure smooth the wrinkles in my soul. Sleeping in the moonlight, a blanket for a bed, it leaves a peaceful feeling in my mind. Waking up in the morning with an eagle overhead makes me long to fly away before my time. And I think God must be a
Well, that's just great. I had wonderful playing things planned to go right on into another song here, and now I'm having other issues. So while we're waiting for these issues to be resolved, let me throw in a plug here for our next Arms Expo, the next Southwest Shooting Authority / Liberty for All Arms Expo will be right here in Sholo, Arizona on the 16th, 17th, and 18th of October. We have people working feverishly on making all this come together in a manner that will be pleasing to us, I guess. And that is that we're trying to get it inside in a very large building here in town. And we'll have some other events and activities go along with this, but primarily what it is a preemptive strike against Michael Bloomberg and his attempts to try to keep us from his attempts to do what he's done in Washington and Oregon. He's already said that and there's been legislation suggested. I don't know what the status of it is right now, where all firearms transfers have to go through a dealer. If you want to just give your best friend, here's an old SKS I'm not using anymore, you're welcome to it. Make good use of it. Liberty's teeth there. You can't do it legally. If you get caught, it's a felony. Well, they have made mention of trying to do that in Arizona, so we're going to try to beat them to the punch. And this is going to be just exactly like the one we had up in Washington. The other difference will be, it's not exactly like it, I guess. The difference will be that here, when we make the transfers, they won't be illegal. In Washington, when we did it, we all committed felonies. And it was a beautiful thing. It was a vast show of civil disobedience, and I am so proud to have been a part of that. Twice, actually, once in December and once in June. And so the difference will be, but what we want to do is educate people. We want to bring this to everyone's attention. You know, I had that little gun show in Pine Top in 2013 where we did this the exact same thing, but not nearly on as big a scale and as well advertised as this one is going to be. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope every single one of you that possibly has the means to get here will get here and join us for this. It's going to be great. How'd you like that imitation?
American
huh?
girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our head. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start a ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. Oh, brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Served and the battle will rage.
This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining.
Dear old Louisiana. Before the sun goes down this evening, I'll be on my way to see my Cajun baby, and there I'm gonna stay. On a Saturday night we go dancing and listen to the fiddle-oh. Lord, I got me a Cajun baby just living and loving by the old bayou. Way down yonder in the bayou country in dear old Louisiana, that's where lives my Cajun baby, the fairest one in the land. Her teeth are white and pearly, hair black as coal. I wouldn't trade my Cajun baby for the world's gold. Way down yonder in the bayou country in dear old Louisiana.
We'll just move on and try to pretend that that never happened. I don't know what that was. It's good while it lasted, though, wasn't it?
Love is where you find it.
Very ghost. I challenge you to tell me who this is.
And there's nothing called.
wishes after the fire is gone.
The bottle is almost empty. The clock just now struck ten. Darling, I had to call you to our far out place again.
We know it's wrong for us to meet, but the fire's gone out at home. And there's nothing cold as ice is after the fire is gone. Love.
Now, I put that link in the chat room a while ago to Governor Inslee's Facebook page. I don't know if any of you went and looked at it or not. But there was a couple of other replies there. But anyway, I had 17 responses. No more than that. Anyway, I had a bunch of responses to what I put up there. A couple of medium lukewarm wannabe liberals tried to respond to it, and one of them said a very, very weak response. He said, "Well, let me tell you what I said first. I said, looks like your governor is scared for his head. What a lowlife. Inslee, you're a complete disgrace to the people of your state, American patriots, and our military. You should be ashamed of yourself. Enjoy this term. The people of Washington will not allow you to spend another term in their Capitol building. I hope someone out there leads the charge to impeach your pathetic self." I really did say self because I was trying to do everything I could to try not to give him an excuse to delete the comment. But so far, he hasn't deleted any of them, but I bet he's not liking what he's seeing here. Anyway, this pathetic liberal little puke said, "Oh, I think we'll be keeping Governor Inslee for another term. We'll also keep our teeth and continue to marry outside our immediate families. We're very progressive." Progressive? Is that what you call morons? Anyway. So, anyway, I went on and addressed this a time or two. And Kit Lang, our own Kit Lang, got on there and said, "Would you like a cookie, Tim?" And these people that have responded to this, just amazing. But it's been interesting. And you remember Governor Inslee was the one that allowed the Chinese flag to be flown over the state capitol building in Washington and doesn't even have the decency to fly flags at half-mast for our four Marines that were killed. Unless we, it doesn't matter if we see it tomorrow or not. It's too late. It should have been done within hours after this happened. But so far, that doesn't seem to be the case. So.
some things that hurt you. And in the heat I started walking out that door. But on second thought, I'll just turn around here in my tracks and walk back into your arms where I belong. I was wrong on second thought. I apologize for what I've done, 'cause you're the only one I'll always be in love with. I know it's not your fault that you're so pretty and that you turn the head of every man. I understand. But when I saw you dancing with him, I just lost it. I started thinking I don't love you anymore. But on second thought, I'll just turn around here in my tracks and walk back into your arms where I belong. Second thought, I apologize for what I've done, 'cause you're the only one I'll always be in love with. I started thinking I don't love you anymore. But on second thought, I'll just turn around here in my tracks and walk back into your arms where I belong. I was wrong on second thought. I apologize for what I've done, 'cause you're the only one I'll always be in love with. Yes, you're the only one I'll always be in love with.
I rode your ocean liner to Newfoundland, fished the salty waters for a time, passing through Prince Edward Island and New Brunswick. I could see the rocks and cliffs of solid stone, listening to the seagulls calling to each other, made me miss my darling down my distant home. Canadian Pacific, carry me 3,000 miles to the sunshine of her smile, across the plains and the rugged mountains, keep this wandering boy from harm. Canadian Pacific, take me to my baby's arms. The Atlantic disappeared on the horizon, and Quebec lay waiting for down the track. For a while I drove a truck to keep from starving. In Ontario I was a lumberjack. Manitoba and Saskatchewan and followed, where the wheat fields and the old Red River flows. In the quiet hours your whistle on the prairie touched my heart and set my memories aglow. Warm
kisses when you rolled into Alberta westward bound. I worked on an oil rig to make some money for a ticket to the sweetest girl around. Pushing on past Lake Louise in all its splendor, where the trees and Rockies touch the sky above. I got the prettiest Columbia and heaven. On your tracks I made it back to my true love, Canadian Pacific. Carry me 3,000 miles through the valleys and the forests to the sunshine. Smile across the plains and rugged mountains, keep this wonderful from harm. Canadian Pacific, take me to my baby's arms. Canadian Pacific, carry me 3,000 miles through the valleys and the
ever had. Oh, but sometimes you're a devil when you reach out and dim the light. So good when you're bad. You would never hurt anybody. You're too gentle, sweet and kind. Still I keep on doing things that make you sad. Feelings when there's loving on your mind, and you're so good when you're bad. I could say that you're the perfect one. If you're not, it's just pretty women, Lord, they still look good to me. And there's some ladies that can drive some men mad. But when an angel lets her hair down, Lord, that's something else to see. And you're so good when you're bad. And I say, you're so good when you're bad.
Yeah.
in a little cafe just the other side of the border. He was just sitting there giving me looks that made my mouth water. So I started walking her way. She belonged to Batman Jose. And I knew, yes, I knew I should leave when I heard her say, hey, come a little bit closer, you're my kind of man, so big and so strong. Come a little bit closer, I'm all alone, and the night is so long. We started to dance in my
stand. Actually, I could stand to have quite a bit more fun, but I've got some other things to take care of, and I've got to make a phone call here in a minute. So we'll call this good enough for tonight. And nothing should be in our way for next Friday. As a matter of fact, all next week, I believe. Let me look and see. July. Oh, no, 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 no. Man, I forgot. We've got girls camp next week, and Amy will be gone probably 3 days, probably Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Of course, you won't miss her Wednesday anyway. I should only miss, I hope, only Monday. So I'm going to go out there and go. They always want a male or two out there on these hikes and camps and stuff, and somebody to guy to take care of things if things get out of hand, you know. So I'll be out there on the 20th. I'm going to go on it's either a 5 or 10 mile hike. I don't remember which it is. And teach them how to sharpen knives and, you know, do some night navigations by the stars and stuff. And I should be back for the rest of the week. So I'm sorry about that. I tell you what, I may over the weekend, what I may try to do is get a pre-record on for you for Monday. Maybe I can get Amy to do the same thing. So maybe we can have a relatively normal Monday evening, except we won't be live. I'll work on that, and I'll try to get that taken care of for you. And for those of you that watch Facebook, I'll put the results on there. I mean, let you know for sure. yeah, I know, BB Burner, and that's probably exactly why they want her out there, to tell you the truth. But okay, well, that's it. I'm going to get on out of here, and we'll see you all Tuesday night, not Monday. unfortunately, but I'll try to have a pre-record on you for Monday, something new. All right, talk to you later. Thanks for joining me. It's been a lot of fun.
It seems that you've changed in these past few days. Oh, when I try.
Okay, that about wraps it up for another edition of Liberty Lounge on this Friday evening. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join me again Monday morning for Amy's show, Living Way Out Here, at 8 o'clock Pacific Time, and The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Remember that your life is a gift from God. How you spend it is your gift to Him. Good night.
And it's all over, but the crying. I called you on the phone just to find out what was wrong. And the things you said made my suspicions real. You said tonight again you have to stay with this sick friend. But that story I'm not buying, 'cause it's all over but the crying. It's all over but the crying. I never would have thought you were lying. It sounded so true when you said I love you. Now I'll say my goodbye. It's all over but the crying. It's all